I'd like to call this session of the Plan Commission to order. Nick, would you take a roll call?
Mayor Taylor.
Excused.
Commissioner Knipple.
Here.
Commissioner Ritter.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Commissioner Bennett.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Commissioner Fowler.
Here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the minutes from March 20th. Is there a motion to approve?
Move approval.
Second. Comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. All right, we do have a series of public hearings. Item 3A relating to Stacy Tushel, owner of Studio 21 Palm and Crown Dance Academy. Nick, would you like to read in the notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 3rd, 2014 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Stacy M. Tushel, owner of Studio 21 Palm and Dance Academy, Inc., doing business as the Academy of Performing Arts, for a special use under standard industrial classification title number 7911, dance studios, schools, and halls to allow for dance, music, and acting instruction use upon property zone B3 Community Business District and C1 Conservancy District located at 10001 West St. Martin's Road.
Okay. Before we open up for public comment, Mr. Dito, would you like to give us a little background on this?
Yes, thank you. As a special use, the Plan Commission gets to review the project. They're looking at it both from as how it fits on that property and how it fits with the adjacent properties, as well as looking at the physical site itself. The applicant in this instance is proposing to make changes to the exterior of the building and the interior of the building. They're going to make some improvements to the site, to the lot itself as well. The Plan Commission makes recommendations in these instances, and the final decision is made by the Common Council. Public hearing is always held first, and then the Plan Commission will review the matter immediately after the public hearing. A little bit more detail, and the applicant is here as well if any additional information is necessary. Again, it's an existing building, has been vacant for a little while. They propose to renovate the exterior of the building, removing overhead doors, some of the windows, putting new glass in the windows, adding some new windows, taking off the front facade, the brick, I believe, and putting some new ones on, painting it, generally cleaning up the site. There's some junk and stuff in the back. They're going to remove that. They're going to, sounds like, entirely replace the parking lot, repave it, restripe it, add some parking lot lighting. They will also do some landscaping and have some future plans that they will have to come back for to expand the parking lot on the other side of the building and to put a drive access to the back of the building. They are also proposing to put a drive access at this time in the front of the building for drop-offs. Again, this would be a special use, and then the Plan Commission makes a recommendation that would be forwarded to the Common Council. The Common Council has the final decision on this.
I see that you did have several recommendations for them to meet.
Yes.
Okay. All right, the public hearing is open. If our applicant would like to speak, if you have any comments you'd like to make.
I'm Nathan Lauren with Keller. We represent the architecture firm and design build contractor for the project. Just want to make a couple of comments about the use of the site and how they arrived at it. Stacy, the owner, looked high and low in Franklin at this area for a parcel, and when this building became available, really jumped on it quick. The renovation is extensive. It looks nothing like the building that is there. From interpret, it's going to be a brand new building. Nothing stays on the inside. Literally nothing stays on the outside of the building either. The site flow is really great for her business. With the drop-off lane in the front for the kids now, her existing location in Franklin. In the strip mall, they have to park and walk across the parking lot. This whole site and the building package together really fit her business model, and the safety of the kids that she's serving is you couldn't ask for a better site here. She's putting in a great amount of money into the community and looks forward to staying here as a business owner in Franklin.
I certainly appreciate that, and would certainly be a blessing, I believe, to see that area improved considerably. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Yes, Mr. Fowler.
Yeah, I'm looking at the site plan. One of the things I would like you to consider is looking at adding, I don't know, can you see this? Fine.
Yep.
You're going to be putting a roadway to the south, and you're going to be connecting it with the kite store driveway. I would really like you to consider either making that a little bit wider and marking part of it as a walking path, because we'd really like to see we start to connect our buildings together to have some connectivity for people that are parking over there. If they're, maybe the parents are going to drop their kids off. They're going to go shopping at the kite store while they're waiting for their kids to get done. But if there was a convenient path, or at least a marked path, for them to get from your store to their store, I think it would really be beneficial to kind of, you know, improve the connectivity here. Because eventually, when they redo Lover's Lane at St. Martin's, there's going to be a sidewalk or a trail on that, I believe. And that could connect up with here, and then you could see, and you guys are all about movement, and I like to improve movement. So I would like to make that a recommendation that you consider. Because otherwise, I shouldn't say otherwise. It is a great project, and I just think this would add an improvement to it.
I think a lot of that can be considered, especially in the future with, as they get another tenant and they look at expanding the parking surface in there. But in the meantime, we could probably look at the pavement markings, similar to what will be in the drop-off area, hatching for dropping off, and maybe creating a five-foot path of asphalt instead of concrete through there. So it's easy to work with in the future and just striking it.
Absolutely.
So that would be a nice consideration.
Thank you. I appreciate your consideration of that.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, I don't know if I missed it, but is there cross access? You have cross access?
Easements, yes.
Requirement? Okay, good.
They actually were in place from the previous owners for both entrances, cross access.
I believe there are some trailers and things kind of parked in the back.
Yeah, it's actually, when the snow's finally melted, we've been able to, since we started this project in the middle of winter, and no one had any idea it was under the snow, it's not nearly as bad as we thought it was. So. All of the junk will be removed. There isn't nearly as much as was indicated on the aerial shots, and which was there prior. So the site appears to be cleaned up quite a bit, but we will take care of the required
property. One other comment. There is a wetland at the back of the property.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure. I know you're not required because it's not any new impervious, but your stormwater was your plan. I'd like to make sure you try to keep some of that stormwater from getting into that wetland, try to protect it as much, or buffer it if possible with some kind of green strip or natural plantings.
Yeah, we will. I mean, especially if the parking lot ever expands further. I mean, we're pretty far away now. We're planning on sheet draining everything off through riprap and then through a taller grass type area. And we are pretty far from that wetland area, but definitely need further considerations for parking will require.
And yeah, that's what I'm considering. You consider that, what you're going to do with that future parking would add an additional paving that would drain perhaps in that direction, so consider how you could mitigate the pollutants that would be coming in that direction.
Does anyone else have any other questions or observations? I'd just like to ask our party about how many members do you have in your academy, or do you expect to expand it with this new location?
Yes, we are from Oak Creek originally. We have our first location there. We opened in 2005. We have about 550 students at that location. A ton of Oak Creek or Franklin people were members at that location and kept requesting this new Franklin location. So we opened last September, and we already have 187 students in Franklin already. So we just keep growing, and I know we're going to outgrow that strip mall space pretty soon.
So you're going to bring some of them over from Oak Creek then?
We probably, I would think this Franklin location would be bigger than Oak Creek just because of the number of kids and everything in the city, and I think there's more interest over here. So I picture that studio being much bigger size-wise than our Oak Creek original location.
Well, we look forward to that.
This is great. My wife's the dance teacher at Franklin High School.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Still a public hearing.
That's right. We're still in a public hearing here. If there are no other observations, I guess we can close the public hearing.
Well, you got to ask more. Anybody else wants to
speak. Does anyone else wish to speak on this subject? Any other comments relating to the Dance Academy? Going once, going twice. Close the public hearing. And we do have a motion.
Just yes. One question. Is the applicant satisfied with the conditions?
Yes, we are.
In the resolution? We have looked at it from a drainage standpoint, but until we get a site grading plan, we can't really make any decisions about the south end curb and gutter. But once you get that, we'll take a look at it.
Comments?
I move approval. Just real quick, do we need to add the recommendations? Do I need to add my recommendation about
if you wish to make it formal? Yes.
I would like to make that formal as a recommendation. The okay. Adding a crosswalk or a marked crosswalk between the two parcels, if the owner and the designer don't object.
Then we would have a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a dance, music, and acting instruction use upon property located at 10001 West St. Martin's Road with the condition of connecting pathway between the adjoining properties.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other comments? If not, is there approval? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Item B. Summit Credit Union. We have a public hearing on this one. Nick, would you care to...
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 3rd, 2014 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Summit Credit Union for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 6061, Federal Credit Unions with Drive-Thru Facilities, to allow for a credit union use upon property zone CC Cities Civic Center District, located at 7750 South Lovers Lane Road.
Okay. Public hearing is now open. Do we have the applicant here? Like to make any opening statements? Or, Joel, did you have any background that you wanted to offer on this?
I'll be really quick,
okay.
And the applicant is ready to speak as well. This is both a special use and a master sign program amendment, so there are two resolutions. And then the follow-up to the master sign program would be they would still have to get a sign permit from the inspection department. The special use recommendation would be forwarded to Common Council, and they would have the final say on that as well, on the special use. Again, this is the Shops of Wyndham Village, one of the newly created vacant lots adjacent to Ford Dental, the building that Ford Dental is in. There's a vacant lot between that building and the main entrance into the shopping center. That lot was created last year through a CSM process. It was originally proposed to be a bank, and they're proposing a credit union at this location. With the drive-through facility, it's a special use. Nick is putting up the site plan. The architecture, there's only a few conditions that staff is recommending approval with only a couple conditions, but we would like to point out that the architecture of this building is very... not similar to the architecture in the rest of the shopping center. There is not a design overlay in this area. Like for 27th Street, some of the OL1 and OL2 areas do have some design criteria in those zoning overlays or zoning districts. That doesn't exist here. The only architecture-related element in the zoning district, and there is something different in the Civic Center district. Superior architecture must be used. It doesn't define what that means, but that is part of the district intent within the Civic Center district, which is property is owned. So staff would like to point out that architecture for this building is not the same as the rest of the shopping center, but standing on its own is fine. We do mention that if you had concerns, you know, that there's a possibility to require some changes in materials, to add some accents that would be similar to something that's already in the architecture of the building, but staff is not recommending that at this time. Otherwise, the conditions are pretty straightforward, and the master for the special use, the master sign program, they're asking for more signage than is allowed. That's what the amendment would be for. And the signage is just for those two like architectural features, one in the front, one towards the back. So they'll have their name on either side of that large architectural feature. That's where the signage will be. And then they're asking for an increase of the total square footage for the signage. And if it's recommended for approval here, it would be they'd still need to get a sign permit from Fred in the inspection department. Otherwise, staff was recommending approval.
Okay. You'd like to introduce yourself and your name and address, please.
My name is Peter Tan. Stratton Architects, 6411 Middle Point Road, Madison. And we have here today Jeremy Appler, who is the VP of Facilities at Summit Credit Union, to answer questions as well. So I'll talk a bit about the project.
Please make sure that you're at least up to the microphone so we can.
I tried to raise it, but it's kind of stuck. But
okay,
I'll use.
Good.
I suppose I'd like to point out that the building is set up on its site to kind of really begin to hold the street edge, you know, and we worked hard at screening the service areas of the building. So, you know, the most prominent aspects of the building are right on the east and the north, and you know, it creates a good front and continues the street edge of all the buildings along the public side of the site. So that's an important thing in terms of the urban fabric of your context. The materials for the building that we have here, I've been asked to bring them. The brick on the building is it's a manganese iron spot brick, and these materials are basically part of the pallet materials that are on all the Summit branches. So we are requesting your approval of them as you submit, because it's part of their brand. And it's a manganese iron spot brick with a silver metallic metal panel. And matching that is the clear anodized aluminum window frames with a gray tinted glass. The other thing I wanted to point out was just the landscaping. We've worked hard at screening all the mechanicals with landscaping on the mechanicals which are on grade, and all the mechanicals on the roof are screened with rooftop screens as well. We've been careful to connect the site with the sidewalks on the site so that we can encourage pedestrian connection to the site. We are requesting that you approve the style of the light pictures as the site light pictures as we submitted. I understand that there is a requirement for them to match the color of the neighboring properties, and you're willing to do that, but I think we'd like to apply for your approval of the style so that it'd be more in keeping with the existing, our proposed building.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions? Mr. Bennett.
Yes, I guess this is to the planning staff. Was there a decision on fire suppression system? Was there a decision on if they need a fire suppression system?
If it was over 3,000 square feet, yes, they would be required to.
I think that should be a condition of the use.
Fire suppression. Yeah.
And do you know if they're going to have an on-premise hydrant be required?
I don't know.
If they do have an on-premise hydrant, we want the hydrant in a city easement so we can protect the hydrant. maintain the hydrant.
Yeah, these are requirements that the fire department typically asks for. I don't know if they provided those specific comments for our staff report, but it is what they normally do.
So I'd ask that that be placed in the conditions, that they have a fire suppression system, and if they have an on-premise hydrant, that they provide the city with easements.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
The city attorney may have something. No.
Oh.
Public hearing.
Any other comments from that? Then I'll close the public hearing. Mr. Attorney.
Just with regard to the city engineer's comments about fire suppression system, that's never been in any use approval ordinance because it's required by code, and the boilerplate requires new developments to be subject to all the requirements of other codes. Does staff know whether or not there's a planned fire hydrant installation on this property? I would think the fire department, following a development review team meeting, would have certainly said so if there was one.
Yeah, we're not aware of it.
Have we, the fire department, I think the applicant did receive comments from the fire department.
Right, so our understanding is that because it's more than 3,000 square feet, that the building would need to sprinkler. So in our utility plan, we have the correct size of water supply to the building for us with the
sprinkler system.
The entirety of the property for the shops at Wyndham Village reviewed and developed to include whatever fire hydrants might be there for all these
people? No, there's other off-premise hydrants for the development. But Target has it.
Okay.
Has an off-premise hydrant, and Pick and Save has an off-premise hydrant or on-premise hydrant.
Yeah, the level of information provided for the vacant areas, these lots now, was not to the same extent that the rest of the project was. So it's possible that they didn't go into those details for, like, fire hydrants. I know that they did have water service and sewer service for this entire property, the Shops of Wyndham Village property. I don't know if they went into the details for fire hydrants. I don't know.
Well, then I guess that should be a condition, and that'll have to be answered by the fire department. It should have been done by now.
Okay, so we'll add that condition then to the motion.
If they have an on-premise hydrant, they'll place it in an easement. That would be that. If they have one.
And then the applicant indicated that while they were comfortable with the staff's condition about changing the color of the light poles, they were not color with changing the style. So I'll just point that out to you. Staff was recommending that they match the color and the style of the light poles.
Any other observations on whether, as far as conforming with the style requirements?
Well, I'll just make the statement that I will not support this for the same reason that I didn't support the original proposal for the Andy service station on Ross and at 51st. As some of you may recall, Andy's brought in a old architecture facility on Ryan Road, and people liked that a great deal and thought well of it when they wanted to come in and do their what they ultimately developed at Rawson and 51st. They proposed, I don't recall what it originally was, but essentially something, you know, there's a good deal of enthusiasm for that. But at that time, of course, it was almost entirely residential in that area. Sendix was not there yet. CVS was not there yet. The bank was not there. This was the first, other than the quarry that was there, this was the first step of introducing non-residential into what was predominantly a residential area. And that's, while it has been for a long time the goal to bring in more non-residential property, still you need to do that with some degree of sensitivity to surrounding residential property owners. Here we have a similar situation. There was a good deal of resistance to this whole center being done in the first place, and frankly, you know, some rather bold action on the part of the alderman at the time to go ahead and say we're going to do it anyway. Of course, there's been continuing development of residential, but if you look at this area, it is still a predominantly residential area. Across the street to the north, it's all residential. You have to go all the way down to Loomis Road to get to a small office center. There's a bank and a church, but all of those use pitched roofs. They all use materials and colors that are at least consistent or compatible with surrounding residential properties. What was originally developed as a Super America is now a Speedway on Highway 100 at Church Street there. Great deal of opposition to that when it was first introduced into the area. It remains, you know, the goal of the city to continue to develop non-residential tax base, but I think we need to do that in a way that demonstrates some sensitivity to the residential property owners. Now, I'm not opposed to bold architecture. Let's find a spot on Ryan Road or on Loomis Road. I'm not saying there isn't any place for that in Franklin. I'm just saying in this location, we already have an established architectural theme, some consistency among the existing buildings. We have almost all residential property around that. I think we need to maintain the faith with the residential property owners that even when we're introducing non-residential property into a residential area, we're still going to keep it with materials and colors and styles that are at least consistent or compatible with. So again, I'm not opposed to this as a credit union. When bringing a credit union, that's fine. No problem with the land use. And I have no problem with the architecture elsewhere in Franklin in a commercial environment, on Ryan Road, on Loomis Road, something like that. But in what is predominantly residential area, in an established center that already has some degree of consistency in the style and materials, I think we should stay with something, you know, reasonably consistent, something that seems to fit into the center and reflects the surrounding predominantly residential character of the area. So that's just my view. So I can certainly support this as a land use, but not this facility.
Does the motion be altered at all if they are choosing not to comply with the architectural design as you recommended? Or
if the Plan Commission wishes to request that the architecture be changed, then yes, that would have to be added to the motion. Although it would be interesting to ask the applicant if they would proceed with the project if that was a condition of approval.
So I just have to ask you the question, if the architecture has to meet what our planners feel is necessary, would you still be willing to go along with the proposal? Or do you feel it's imperative that you have your own design?
We're really trying to have a consistent look and feel for our branches, and I understand your concerns. I know at other places where we've looked for property, we've explored different options, and I'd have to go back and check with our senior management team, but I know we put the project in jeopardy, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, no, and I want to be clear, I'm not opposed to it. Certainly welcome you coming to Franklin, and with this facility, just not at this location. I certainly, you know, encourage you to, you know, work with staff or staff to work with you. We have an economic development group that I would presume would, you know, want to get. So I'd certainly be happy to welcome you to Franklin, just not this facility at this location. We have other major roadways where I'd really like to think we could find you a parcel somewhere that would meet your needs. So it's not, you know, again, certainly be delighted to welcome you to Franklin, but I just don't think this facility fits at this location. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. And, of course,
Mr. Hayes. I guess I would just echo Mr. Rigger's thoughts. It's a great project. I actually like the architecture. This is going to be problematic. If those of you who remember when the whole proposal, there was a lot of effort, a lot of concern about the neighbors and making everything fit and having a consistent style, and I wish there was a way that you could find a way to make it fit in better, but I can't support it for that reason.
Mr. Knipple.
A question for Mr. Deedle. Do we have the ability to help these gentlemen out with other parcels that might fit their requirements in the city?
Sure. We often do that.
Okay. Does that mean if we can find a spot for them, don't let them get away?
Yes, sir.
And if with the recommendation would still Common Council will still have final say on whether or not to approve.
Correct.
design. Fowler.
Yeah, I'm going to be very unpopular at home because when I showed this design to my daughter, who's at a design in UWM, she loves this design. I love this design, but I'm going to have to echo. I was here when we talked about the consistency of architecture in this, and that was one of the things that was promised, I think, to the residents who showed up at the public hearing who were in deep opposition to any development along Drexel. But I love this architecture. I've seen your building that you have in Madison, and it's outstanding. And I really hope that we can work with you to find another location in Franklin, because I think this is just the kind of architecture we need. I think of the Dental Association that's on 27th Street had a unique architecture, though it fit in, I believe, I can't remember the specific zoning that's there, but it fits in, and it's unique, and it really looks good, and it speaks well for Franklin. This speaks well for Franklin, and I would really hope that we could find a spot for you. So my opposition is not to this building. It's just that we had made promises to the public. We're not promises, but I think there were commitments. I guess I don't know how to put it, but at the public hearing, there was a lot of opposition and consistency, and I'd like to honor what we told the public we would do with that hearing. So I regretfully would have to say no as well. But I think this can go somewhere else, and I'd like to work with you to find that spot.
So, Mr. Attorney, do you have an amended motion that we could vote on?
Well, it takes four affirmative votes for anything to move from the Plan Commission with regard to an action item. Does vote at the Plan Commission, that's only to affect the result. If there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Plan Commissioners here this evening, if there were 2 in opposition and someone moved to adopt or recommend the resolution to the Common Council to approve, the Chair could vote in favor, and that would be 4-2. I heard 3 negative votes potentially. And if that is in fact a sign of the ultimate result on a motion to recommend approval, the Plan Commission, as a result thereof, may wish to adopt a motion recommending denial of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a credit union use upon property located at 7750 South Lovers Lane Road due to the Plan Commissioner's concerns that while the architecture is very creative and upscale and high quality, that it is inconsistent with the existing architecture in the shops development and with residential properties immediately across the street therefrom, and that this wonderful proposed development should occur somewhere else in the city where the architecture would be more appropriate.
I would certainly agree with that, and there was another motion made in this chamber recently that included directing staff to continue to work with the applicant towards development. So I would, if there's a way to add that in, I would certainly add that recommendation of the Common Council to direct staff to continue to work with the applicant to find a suitable location where we could, wouldn't be such a contrast with the residential character of the immediate area.
Mr. Knippel.
Have you looked at other areas in Franklin? Were there any other possibilities that you had when you decided on Franklin?
We actually looked. We did most of our looking last year. It's been a very lengthy due diligence process for us. This is the only one that I remember us considering in Franklin. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's been a while.
Well, I can understand, because the traffic flow on Drexel Avenue is right there, and you have easy access right at a very nice roundabout. And unfortunately, I have to kind of agree with the commissioners. I'd love to see this building in Franklin. It's just that, you know, I think there would be an uproar by the neighbors. Not that that building anywhere would be wonderful, but we have neighbors that would object, I'm afraid.
I can understand that.
But I would hope that, you know, Mr. Deedle does a wonderful job. He has access to everything in the city of Franklin. And I'm even thinking of the property just down on Loomis Road across from Brentwood Park, across from the post office. There's, you know, next to the dental clinic that's just almost in that same general area. It's just south on Loomis Road. I'm sure Mr. Deedle knows much more than I do anyway. So I would hope that you would work with Mr. Deedle to perhaps find another place in Franklin.
Sure. For the record, did we get your name and address?
No, sorry. My name is Jeremy Epler, and my address is 4800 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Thank you. Mr. Bennett.
I guess I remember things a little bit different from Shopsawindow Village, where Target was told that they couldn't have a bullseye, and they said they needed a bullseye, so we approved a bullseye. You know, I don't know that a little change of character into this development wouldn't be good, and so I will not support denying this.
I will also note for the record, just as a matter of consistency, and this shows what an old timer I am here, but along 27th Street, just south, or excuse me, 76th Street, just south of Rawson, when the Taco Bell came in there, we insisted on berming to screen the drive-by that's there. Now, here they have, it looks like a good deal of planting, but we've got driveway all along, all around this property with no berming there, so I think, you know, not that things can't change over time, but I think it turned out to be, you know, consistent with the public taste to try to screen driveways and that sort of thing. So even if we were going to go ahead with a site here, that would be another issue that I want to look at if somebody else wants to bring, or whether they wanted to change their style of building and do it and proceed here, or whether some other use. Again, I'm not objecting to the credit union use here, but that would be another factor to consider as we have considered it in the past. So.
Well, we did have a motion here, which was amended by Mr. Ritter. Nick, would you be able to read back what our motion is?
I believe it was a motion to recommend denial of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for credit union use upon property located at 7750 South Lovers Lane Road, Building 8, Lot 3, within the Shops of Wyndham Village Development, due to Plan Commission concerns, due to Plan Commission concerns, while the architecture is creative, upscale, and high quality, it is inconsistent with the Shops at Wyndham development and the residential across the street, and the development should be somewhere else in the city where the architecture would be more appropriate, and to direct staff to work with the applicant to find another location.
Mr. Fowler.
Before I make a vote to deny this, has any attempt been made to show this architecture to the neighborhood, or was the neighborhood aware of this public hearing to come and talk about this? I mean, if we showed some of the neighborhood community leaders over there that here is the building, do you have concerns with this? Because if they did not, and they might say they like it, I would then be in full support of this. But is that something we would have to table this and get that opinion made before we reject this? Or is that not possible?
We just utilized the normal process, notifying the properties within 500 feet. We haven't heard from any neighbors.
So there's nobody objected to this?
Right.
So, but they just knew it was going to be a building, it was going to be a credit union. They were not told of the architectural features. I don't know how it was done. Is it possible that we could? I don't want to lose this because it sounds like they did their due diligence. They've looked around Franklin, couldn't find a spot. They like this spot, but I understand. I support completely what Randy's saying. That, you know, we don't want the neighbors in an uproar over something that they didn't see coming, even though they were notified. But they may not have been notified in a way that they would understand that this was going to be an architectural change that they might not appreciate, or they might appreciate. I'm just wondering if there's a way we could do that. Delay this, table this, not deny it, table it, see if we could find out a way to get that to them, or if that's just more due diligence than we care to do. And I've looked at the city attorney or anybody else to try to get out of this jam we're in. Because I like this architecture. I really do. But I don't live across the street from it. I wouldn't mind it, but I'm not the one that's living there. So.
Well, we have, obviously we did have a public hearing tonight. Were the neighbors aware that they should have been, because it was public notice, if anyone wanted to come and voice their objections to it?
Well, as typical, you know, we only directly notify those in the mail. We send something in the mail to only those within 500 feet. Otherwise, it's just a notice in the newspaper.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, I might just point out that there's no resident that faces this building. They all back onto Drexel Avenue, and they front on an interior street. I personally like it. I was really pleased when I saw that. It looks like something different, and we don't just have the cookie cutter all the time. I was pleased when I saw this. And I sat through all those public hearings, and yeah, they wanted this thing to fit together reasonably well in Shops at Wyndham Village, but I don't recall that we really had a real push for consistency. And then Sendex comes in and they want their own thing, and Sendex got their own thing. Target got their own thing. I, you know, if we want to encourage development, I would suggest then that they have a neighborhood meeting and maybe talk to the aldermen. We haven't heard from the aldermen either on this. I think for the Plan Commission, I think you're shooting in the dark, and you're denying something that I think looks extremely well. And just because it looks different than the others, we're saying it's not looking good. I would be much, much more favor of tabling this thing and maybe talking to the alderman, see if he'd be willing to get a few of the neighbors together and see what they think. You got to remember, nobody faces this thing. So nobody's going to be looking out of there. And there's a berm and a plantings. They're pretty well screened, and that was part of the development, the screening. And I personally don't think it looks bad. It looks a little bit different. But if you look at Bayshore, every building in Bayshore is different. Every building in Bayshore is different. And I don't know that a cookie cutter is that much better than having a little variety. And everything is right now kind of cookie cutter in Shops and Wyndham Village. All red brick and whatever. So I guess I would feel bad turning these people down. They have a dream they want to build. They have a building that is very pleasing. And we're saying the neighbors don't like it, and we don't know that the neighbors don't like it. You're making an assumption. If they were really interested, they would have come into the planning department. They would have looked at the architecture, which is right here, and come to a meeting and said, I don't like it. But not one person did. Now, I agree that a lot of people don't like to take time out to do things like that, but we're making an assumption. Making an assumption that the people aren't going to like it, and I can't go along with that.
Well, as long as we're making assumptions, let's talk about the one that's being made here. Maybe the people actually have some confidence in their public officials that they will be true to what they have done in the past to make sure that when you're developing adjacent to residential areas that you do it in a manner that's compatible with residential.
I think this is extremely compatible to residential areas.
Well, okay.
That's in my opinion. Yeah, well, it's a little different than the others. Is that bad?
No, not necessarily. Well, depends on who you ask, I guess. But it's not a part of the formal process, but we very often, and you're new to us, so I can understand you wouldn't know that, but we very do often encourage neighborhood meetings. Have you held one, or would you be agreeable to hosting a neighborhood meeting to try to reach out to the surrounding property owners to get some sort of reaction?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Your alderman would be a good resource, too, to maybe facilitate that.
No, I don't disagree. If we want to just table this to see, you know, if there's a way to get some public reaction to it, that's fine.
Because Jack's convinced me. I will vote with Jack. I have peace at my house when I go home, too.
Mr. City Attorney.
Just thinking out loud, and I never had to study the subject matter, but I dare say that all neighborhood meetings always occur before a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I know. Well, maybe that's the answer. The subject matter is still on the agenda. Maybe the chairman, absent any objection from the commission members, reopens the public hearing. The motion is to continue the matter to the next meeting of the plan commission, which would be in 2 weeks. And that would simply be with the understanding that staff will work with the applicant to, in effect, provide a picture of the architecture. Picture's worth a thousand words. And the location to the neighborhood, if you will. And I don't know where you'd start drawing lines either. Mm-hmm. You know, you got codes with 500 feet, et cetera, et cetera. Let's just leave that up to, or the commission just leave that up to the applicant and see what happens. And then that avoids an argument that whenever there is a neighborhood meeting or something happens informally after a public hearing, then the argument will be, well, they had a public hearing, and then you changed your mind after.
Mr. Fowler?
And one of the reasons why I'm interested in this going in this location as opposed to somewhere else in Franklin, because it's in the Franklin School District, and I'm always looking for more business. Sorry, Randy. I know Randy doesn't like when I say that. Sorry.
So I would just recommend a motion to put the matter over to the next regular meeting of the Plan Commission.
Reopen the public hearing and then?
And after reopening the public
hearing. So move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Motion to put it over to the next Plan Commission meeting.
And the public hearing will be continued. It will appear on the agenda for the meeting as such.
Probably should reopen the public hearing at this point and then continue.
Is that acceptable?
Well, that was part of the motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't use the different motions.
Okay, so.
New ideas always need new procedures.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
and
you.
Just for the record, no one did appear in the public hearing. Because it is unusual to reopen a public hearing. I don't recall that. No one appeared. No one left the room outside of the initial applicant since he started this meeting.
Now, we did have a second motion regarding the signage.
That's the entirety, applies to the entirety of the subject.
All right. Moving on to item 3C, and another public hearing notice, Nick.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 3rd, 2014 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53102. To hear public comment regarding application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 6531, Real Estate Agents and Managers, to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B3 Community Business District.
Okay. Public hearing is now open. Joel, background.
This, as a UDO text amendment, this is going to apply citywide. I want to be clear, it's citywide for all the B3 zoning districts. What initiated this was an individual project, but what this motion, this action would be to allow real estate agent offices in any B3 district. There's a map that shows where those are. And staff believes that it's a perfectly compatible use. And so as staff had no problem with the temporary use that initiated this, staff has no problem with doing a UDO text amendment to allow this as a permitted use in any of the B3 districts.
And this is kind of a continuation of an existing office there that had been going on before?
Yeah, if this is approved, that the temporary use, because they have a temporary use at the Orchard View Shopping Center for the project that initiated this. That expires May 21st. If this UDO text amendment is approved, then they would be a permitted use. They would be allowed to remain there. And then would open this possibility up for all the other properties that are zoned B3.
Okay. Really care to speak on behalf?
Good evening. I'm Russell Stewart. I represent the O'Brown Corporation, John O'Malley's actions. For some 15 years before the zoning was changed, apparently this was a legal conforming use. The previous real estate company that was, first it was O'Malley's office, then it became a REMAX office, and in January of 2012, they moved out and they were grandfathered in under existing nonconforming. We leased the office to another realtor. I'm a realtor. I've been a realtor for 57 years to Caldwell Banker. And when we went to get a use approval or a occupancy permit, they told us it's a non-existing use of the building, non-conforming, which almost floored us both, the other realtor and myself, that we didn't check the zoning because the other realtor just moved out, basically, in our eyes. So we're here to ask you to amend the zoning or reroute the zoning, which was in existence until, 1998, when it was changed. And apparently when they did the zoning uses, they got down to ours, and they just didn't compute or something. I don't know. I mean, it's compatible. We have 109,000 square feet in that shopping center. We have every kind of use approval in there. We have stockbrokers. We have restaurants. We have pediatricians. We have eye doctors, dentists. There was a tanning booth. The people that moved out of this were doctors, pediatrician, and all of a sudden a realtor is not a licensed use. And did I give these to you? In Waukesha County, two of the largest realtors, Shore West and First Weber, are in shopping districts. The one in Meadowbrook, which I worked out of for 2 years, and you didn't have a picture of the way that realtors work. They don't really work out of an office. They work out of a cubit. It's maybe 4 feet by 5 feet with a telephone, room for their computer, maybe one file cabinet. They don't really work out of an office. That's common practice. This office in Waukesha that's on Meadowbrook Road has all these little cubits in it. And that particular office does $38 million worth of gross closed commissions. The one on Blue Mound Road, that is First Weber, does $20 million in gross closed commissions out of a shopping center. So I would like to ask your approval of this amendment or zoning district change.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions or comments? Attorney.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going to guess that the real estate use of the office was not there for more than 12 months.
It was vacant more than 12 months. Therefore, it was vacated, yeah. And they tried to look for another use that would fit the description, even though a stockbroker does about the same thing, investment. And
it's
an
SIC code issue is what specific, and that's what happened.
I think that Joel kind of felt it was just an oversight at the time the zoning was changed.
Okay. Any other comments?
PH goes. Anybody else?
Anyone else wishing to speak on this amendment? If not, close the public hearing. We do have a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 6531, quote, real estate agents and managers, end quote, to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B3 Community Business District. Do we have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to item D. For Home Depot. We have a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use for outdoor seasonal tree and shrub sales for property located at 6489 South 27th Street. I believe this has been a perpetual usage of the property. So, does anyone have any comments or observations on this?
Just yes, the one of staff, have there been any complaints or concerns for the past year with the
use?
Not that I remember, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Does the applicant have anything he would like to share?
Good evening. My name is Scott Gorman, 6543 South 50th Street in Franklin. And basically, like you said, we just want to do a temporary fence for April 16th to July 15th for the sale of live goods. We do this every year, so I mean, nothing's changing. The thing that I would like to, but I'm sure that's going to have to be done something afterwards, is seeing if there's a way we can get something set up so we don't have to do this every year. I don't know if there's
there is a process. I don't know if we mentioned it this time, but we have mentioned it previous years. We always encouraged to try to get this permanently done, but previously the applicant never wanted to.
Well, as long as I'm there, I plan on coming back and doing that.
Talk to them.
All right, thank you. All right, we do have a motion then for the to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use for outdoor seasonal tree and shrub sales or property located at 6489 South 27th Street. Anyone?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any other comments? Seeing none. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good season.
All right. And item E, complete streets and connectivity committee status report. Anything to report?
Just a couple things that we discussed today. One was these. In the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance, there is some requirements for bike trails and sidewalks for new development, and it has some things about schools, and we were looking at that and making sure that the Planning Commission and the Council is aware of that. And Kevin, was there any action we wanted to take? I don't believe there was any action we wanted to take on that, but we just wanted to point it out that there is this in the Unified Development Ordinance for trails and sidewalks. And there was some discussion about whether the sidewalk had to be ADA or not, but that might be something we bring up with planning staff in the future. We also talked about the status of the City of Franklin impact fee study. As Nick pointed out, that study is not complete, but they did want to reiterate that they would like to participate in a joint meeting to when that is being presented. And I think that was it. Oh, I think they want to go at some point on the complete streets information that we have for the website. I think it's our guide for complete streets. We're going to be going to Franklin Forward to make a presentation. They wanted to know what the connection was between trails and economic development, and the committee voted me to go make a presentation to them. And at some point, we're probably going to come back to the council and talk about the information and the documents we're going to be using for that. So that's my report. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Comments? Okay. Thank you for that update. There are no other comments or questions. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned at 8 p.m.